Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. We are a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, trying to salvage some faith, family, and freedom during the demise of a Christian outlook on life. And the demise has come about because of the universities, because of the epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics that is being taught by the universities, by the churches, too. Because what happens, friends, is that the churches begin to find the Word of God has nothing to say about things like reality, truth, and ethics. And because of that, because churches won't teach, the Bible has something to say about defining our reality, truth, and ethics. And then all these other false worldviews begin to infect the way that these pastors and teachers are taught to think in seminaries and universities. You wind up with a society that is effectively run by an ungodly, unbiblical way of thinking. Well, we're trying to bring back a biblical worldview on this program. Steve Vaughn with me in studio right now, another homeschooling father. And friends, we're doing what we can to salvage faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. Now we're going to take a look at what's going on in the news today. Here is an interesting story. I think this happened in San Diego, California. And Steve, this is a shocking story, but I think we ought to review it because this is what's going on in our world today. People have said before, you know, I realize we're becoming a pagan nation, but human sacrifice probably not going to happen anytime too soon. Well, there was an attempt to sacrifice a son on the part of a father in San Diego, California. And it just happened this April 30th, 2012 is when the news report came out. And really sad story, pretty bad deal. Apparently some folks tried to interrupt what was going on. It was some kind of a religious ceremony of some sort. And they tried to interrupt this. Now, folks, remember, the Supreme Court of the United States just approved animal sacrifice. They approved of that. This would have been 2006 as an extension of religious rights in America. That is, again, people do not want to impose God's law on our systems today. They want to somehow bring in a polytheism that is a respect for every single religion and every single form of religious exercise in America. They want to respect that. They don't want to respect the law of one God. They certainly don't want Deuteronomy 13 to be informing how they do life or how religious exercises are performed in America. Friends, I'm here to tell you that you can't have absolute religious freedom. You can't have it. You say, well, how in the world do you figure out where to draw the lines? My suggestion, use the Bible. And Steve, I know that that is controversial.
Absolutely. I mean, why use the Bible? That Bible is exclusive from all other religions. Mm-hmm. And so if you use the Bible, that means you're saying that somebody else is wrong.
Right. And again, friends, on what basis are you going to say that what this father was doing in San Diego was wrong? On what basis? Human sacrifice attempted in San Diego, California. On what basis is this wrong? And you know what they're going to come back with? They're going to come back with natural law. Okay. Natural law. Let's go with that for a moment. How many pagan tribes do some form of religious worship using human sacrifice? A lot of them have been doing it since the beginning of time, at least since the fall of man. And if natural law that exists in the minds of natural people, whose minds we believe have been clouded by the fall and by sin, thanks to the noetic effects of the fall, if natural man somehow is going to determine what is right and wrong based upon his own natural law, natural inclinations, friends, this is the wrong basis for determining whether human sacrifice ought to happen in San Diego or not. Steve, you know, I'm really nervous around my friends who are against God's law, who do not want to teach God's law in church. We're talking about Reformed people out there who just shy away from any of that law in the Old Testament, especially binding civil government on the basis of, say, Deuteronomy chapter 13, which would have forbidden human sacrifice. That is the serving of other gods. And typically in the Old Testament, the serving of other gods is interpreted as making human sacrifice or animal sacrifice to those gods. Okay? That's typically the way it's translated, interpreted, understood in the Old Testament. That's what serving other gods involves. Now, according to Old Testament text, you're not to perform animal sacrifice or human sacrifice anywhere. Why? Because God says it's inappropriate, it's wrong.
and it's against God's law, and it's part of the civil code encoded in the Old Testament. And Steve, you know, that's controversial. People don't like me to say that. And on what basis are these folks going to say human sacrifice is inappropriate? I don't know, the regulative principle of worship. Okay,
maybe.
But again, the regulative principle of worship is not supposed to be enforced by the civil magistrate. I mean, okay, occasionally you have people out there who says, "Yeah, God's law is going to somehow inform what happens in worship," but that's it. We're not going to allow that to infect the area of the civil magistrate. So, you know, there's a few out there that are willing to concede that maybe God's law has something to say about worship in the church, within the confines of the church. And so you have these hardcore regulativists, and they're going to say, "We're not going to have anything in the church but this and this and this and this and this." But they're just fine with human sacrifice.
Well, this didn't happen in a church. I think it was supposed to be a cemetery, right?
Yeah, it was
so
a cemetery.
I mean, so yeah. So, but this seems to be.
So evidently, the regulative principle of worship probably would not.
It wouldn't apply there. Yeah. But it seems to be a logical outbreak of evolutionary thought, because what is man but just a higher form of animal?
So if
the Supreme Court has okayed animal sacrifice, then why not human sacrifice? Yeah. We're just animals.
Yeah, and especially if the human sacrifice occurs in a voluntary fashion. Say somebody signs up for it, says, "Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, sign me up." Okay, if you got voluntary human sacrifice happening, which may have happened in this case, I don't know. That doesn't say for sure. But if it's voluntary human sacrifice, I mean, can you see the Supreme Court in the year 2018 approving this thing? Why? Because they do not agree that God's law will dictate the bounds of religious liberty in this country. And at some point, Steve, at some point, you would hope that there'd be some Christians in America, some Christians, oh, maybe even in a seminary, for a reformed seminary, who would stand up and say, it's not just on the basis of natural law, because we can't develop a really ironclad case that somebody cannot be performing human sacrifice under voluntary conditions in San Diego on the basis of natural law. At some point, we've got to acknowledge that you've got to use God's revealed law to establish the bounds of religious liberty in a nation like ours. And there are not many Christians that will stand up and say that. And that's one reason why I think this human sacrifice is coming to this country.
Well, it has been coming anyway since Roe v. Wade, because we have... We've had 120 million, 150 million human sacrifices since that time anyway.
And unfortunately, there aren't that many churches that stand up. I mean, really stand up and say, this is an abomination. This needs to stop. This needs to – if every evangelical church in America had the guts to stand – I mean, every single evangelical church in America stood up and said, you do not vote for Barack Obama, the most pro-infanticide president ever to run for president of the United States, who stood against the Born Alive bill in the Illinois legislature back in the early 2000s. You do not vote for Barack Obama. That would be an abomination to do that. When you've got a man who stands for the shedding of innocent blood, and yet there were twice as many evangelicals that went for Obama as went for Kerry, and now apparently there are twice as many evangelicals planning to vote for Obama in the 2012 elections as did in the 2008 election, Steve. You know why? That's because God's law is not taught, and people are not called to repentance on the basis of God's laws in the churches in America. And for that reason, we're going to lose. You know, Steve, I put the demise of Western civilization, I put the utter breakdown of our families, the obliteration of the respect for human life, the tyranny that rises, the human sacrifice happening in San Diego, I put all of this at the feet of evangelical pastors who refuse to teach the laws of God and call a nation to repentance.
That's where it should be placed. Judgment should begin at the house of God. And if the church does not teach that law, if the church does not teach the Bible, and if all you're worried about is increasing your number so you can pay off the building, then this is what we should expect.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're against human sacrifice. I just want to make that point. Steve, can you just agree with that for a moment?
I agree with
that. We are against human sacrifice, making the point, establishing the position today on the Generations broadcast in my basement. Granted, very few people in America, very few pastors in America would stand up and say, on the basis of Deuteronomy 13, where God does not allow the serving of other gods by means of these sacrifices, on the basis of God's law, God's word, we're against human sacrifice. We got a reason to be against it. And it turns out to be the written, encoded, and scripturated laws of God. On that basis, there's two guys in America taking the stand. Steve and Kevin.
Amen.
Taking the stand against human sacrifice today on the Generations broadcast. And we invite other pastors, Reformed pastors, Evangelical pastors, Baptist pastors, Presbyterian pastors. We invite other pastors to take a stand with us against human sacrifice on the Generations radio broadcast. Be back in just a moment.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson here, drawing lines on religious freedoms. Yes, a little bigoted and prejudiced against religions that commit human sacrifice. Two guys in studio in my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado taking the stand against human sacrifice during the demise of Western civilization and the rise of humanism and really utter paganism in this country. And you know, Steve, we've taken the stand against body mutilation. We've taken the stand against drinking blood. We've taken the stand against cannibalism. And that's been pretty brave. You know, we've stood up and said, you can't be a vampire, can't be drinking human blood, can't be drinking animal blood. Acts chapter 15. We use the law of God on stuff like this. And people are shocked. They can't believe that there are people standing up against paganism and cannibalism and human sacrifice in my basement on the basis of God's law. That's a shocker to a lot of Christians today, because friends, there's still some Christians left in America who are willing to take a stand against false religions on the basis of God's laws. Okay, now here's another false religion, statism. Let's go back to what's going on in Washington, D.C. And Steve, Washington is out of control. I mean, out of control. You read the newscasts, and I don't know. I've seen so many scandals recently. I can't count them. I can't keep up with what's going on with Washington, D.C. Not a surprise when they're out trying to redistribute 50 to 60% of the gross national income, which, by the way, is also against God's law. Okay. Yeah. It's against God's law. Thou shalt not steal. Look it up. It's in Exodus 20.
Somewhere 20-ish, around
there. Yeah, 20-ish.
Right? Yeah, I think it's repeated in Deuteronomy somewhere, too.
Chapter 5-ish, right in there. So we're against stealing, too. And we're against the redistribution of the wealth, even though we understand the president wanted the redistribution of the wealth to be included in the Constitution of the United States. But unfortunately, the Constitution was 60 years before Marx's manifesto. So bummer, bummer, bummer for Obama. But he's been working hard to redistribute the wealth. A lot of Marxist comments coming out of the president recently. You know, he's getting back to some of the old Marxist lines. I don't know if you noticed that at all, Steve, recently.
Yeah, he wants to take over and not even go through Congress anymore. If he can just – he wishes he could wave his magic wand and skirt Congress and just take over as a dictator.
Yeah, I think we're moving more towards dictator status. But all these scandals – let's get back to the scandals for a moment. The ICE scandal, where evidently there are people employed by this humongous bureaucracy who cheat. I mean, can you believe it?
Top-level official, Wolseley, who is running a big scam out of his home with his live-in girlfriend and his son. They look like they're all going to go to jail together.
And he skimmed off some $500,000. But then you've got another guy who skimmed off $1.2 million. You've got the Secret Service scandal. You've heard of this one down in South America where apparently, I mean, shocker of shockers, they are hanging out with prostitutes.
Nothing wrong with that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The White House has done their investigation.
I was thinking a while back, it's not as if the President of the United States set a really good standard for us in the 1990s.
Yeah.
Remember that? I mean,
yeah.
This was the President of the United States, and, you know, he did not have sex with that woman, but we don't want to talk about the things he did do.
Right.
Right. So, the President of the United States set the standard. Is there any wonder in your mind that maybe some of the minions might be following suit?
Yeah. You know, so if you're, you know, when you're fully instructed, you'll
be like your teacher,
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
That, okay. But that's biblical.
Okay. Yeah, and that is a biblical principle. Unfortunately, bad teachers producing really, really bad students. The GSA scandal also in Las Vegas was another instance where they were spending money like wild sailors out of control. And, Dave, you know, Steve, there has not really been a lot of honor among thieves. There never is honor among thieves. So when you have government redistributing 50-60% of the gross national income, no real surprise when the robbers' kids go crazy with the money. Okay. In other words, here are the robbers running out and stealing 50% of the gross national income, which is, again, the Bible limits what the government can do. And the Bible limits what the government can tax and how the government can spend that money. And it's in the scriptures, friends. And when the government goes beyond the limit of 10%, that's the maximum set by 1 Samuel chapter 8. When the government goes beyond it, the government is stealing. And as the government steals and redistributes some 50-60% of the gross national income, is there any wonder where the kids of the robbers just go crazy with the money? I mean, they just have a big party. They go to Las Vegas. They go nuts. No surprise at all to me.
Yeah, but then they turn around and have the audacity to say that this is misuse of taxpayer money.
Well, I mean, what did they expect? I mean, hey, we're the people who voted for George W. Bush, the greatest spender of all time, with maybe the exception of Obama. But George W. Bush, he increased government more than any other president since LBJ. And we're talking just domestic spending there. So you've got Republicans saying, hey, let's redistribute more wealth and more wealth and more of the people's wealth. Hey, let's salvage some of the banks by redistributing some of the nation's wealth. Let's throw $1 trillion of the people's money at the banks and try to salvage some of these banks who did bad banking and exercised bad business for a long, long, long time. Let's save these banks by means of these, you know, X hundreds of billions of dollars and trillions of dollars. And the people are surprised when there are people in government who spend an extra $400,000 on a party in Las Vegas. Guys, wake up. We're already stealing billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. We've elected these presidents to do this kind of thing. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. These are the presidents you elected. And they're running you into debt, and they're running governments into all sorts of excess spending, and they're redistributing all this wealth to all their favorite causes. And there are people who are redistributing some of the wealth to some of their favorite causes in Las Vegas and some of their favorite causes with prostitutes down in South America. Is there any wonder in your mind that these kids will do something like what their daddies are doing as presidents of the United States? Steve, it's an obvious thing. I mean, this is what we've done. This is who we elect. This is the government we've constructed for ourselves. I don't know why people get all upset about somebody throwing a party in Las Vegas and spending a couple $100,000 at it.
The sins of the father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. I don't know. Are we getting more scandals than usual? It just seems like there's a few more scandals than usual going on right now.
Yeah. And I think this is probably just the tip of the iceberg. I bet I would stake that there's a lot more under the surface that we're not even seeing right now.
Yeah. And I think people are a little uptight because the standard of living has fallen and people are having the government officials are having such a good time. And the president and his wife have taken a number of vacations. I mean, it seems to me that there's been an extraordinary number of vacations in exotic places around the world for the Obama family. And that kind of galling to people out there who are suffering through the present recession, which, by the way, according to thestreet.com, the standard of living has fallen 57%. Over the last 15, 20 years. So it's been a steady fall, but the standard of living for the average family has fallen some 57%. You just checked it out. Gas prices up 350% over the last 10 years.
Right? Yeah. And so it got to a low of $1.20.
Yeah.
And now we're back up to close to $4 again.
Right.
And
so gas up 350% and standard living down 57% over the last 15, 20 years for the average American. Friends, it's over. The good times are over, but not for the people still out redistributing the wealth. not for your government officials, because you vote for these people. This is what you want. And the reason they vote for them, Steve, is because they really believe that by the redistribution of the wealth, and if government gets even more power and Barack Obama and George W. Bush spend more money on domestic issues, then maybe, just maybe, governments will solve our problems for us and make us to be rich and comfy for the rest of our lives. But Steve, this again is the trust in government. This is the democracy that assumes that you can vote for whatever you want. That is, the people is law. Populi lex, the people is law. They make up their own laws. They do what is right in their own eyes. They vote for what is right in their own eyes. They don't submit themselves to the laws of God. And so now everybody's got their hands in the till, trying to redistribute everybody else's wealth. Guess what happens when that happens, friends? The standard of living continues to fall. Now, you can get irritated with government spending money in the wrong sort of way, but that's the people you elect. And when you vote to redistribute the wealth, as the vast majority of Americans do, by voting for Republicans to redistribute wealth or Democrats to redistribute wealth, you're probably going to get a much, much, much lower standard of living as the years go by, because you continue to vote for cheaters, for people who steal, for people who promise to fix your problems. But of course, they're not going to fix your problems, because you don't fix problems by redistributing more wealth and stealing more money from people and redistributing that wealth to other people. That's not how you fix the problems.
You do create equality, though, equality of misery amongst everybody, just like it has been done in every other society that has tried this.
Yeah, exactly. And the Word of God stands against this democracy. The Word of God establishes law, and the Word of God says that when it comes to taxation, the poor shall not pay less and the rich shall not pay more. That's Exodus 30 and verse 15. So, friends, the Word of God is very, very clear when it comes to public projects, publicly funded projects. Nobody gets to pay more and nobody gets to pay less. I'm sorry, but there is a standard flat tax the Bible imposes on public works projects, and no redistribution of the wealth allowed for governments. No redistribution of the wealth allowed for governments, according to the Word of God. Now, I understand Karl Marx disagreed with the Word of God, but Karl Marx was a demon-possessed idiot. And by the way, I'm getting a study course out on some of these great masters, Rousseau, Marx, Descartes, others who created this man-made law system that is tyrannizing us and destroying the Western world. But Steve, I think we are working more towards dictatorship. And this is something you mentioned at the beginning there. I think we're moving towards that direction. You have the President of the United States saying things like, if Congress won't act, I will. By the way, that's become kind of part of his campaign. He's just, you know, if Congress won't act, I will, you know. And people are drawn to dictators, and here's why. They're more efficient. See, again, their trust is in governments, and they believe that these revolutionary dictators can do wonderful things for them. Now, it has never been proved in the history of the world, but they're hoping the very next dictator will have the efficiency and all the power necessary to bring about the most wonderful world the world has ever known. And so they're willing to give these guys power. And I think, Steve, we may be working our way from the republic to the empire. Now, you know what I'm talking about here. This is what happened with Augustus Caesar. Initially, Rome was a republic. That is, it was sort of run by the Senate. But the power transferred to Caesar. And from that point on, Caesar was God. And Caesar was the ultimate authority, and he had no bounds. There were no balance of powers that could rein him in to what he could do. And the people were more than happy to bring this in. The people wanted Caesar to get as much power as possible. And I think people are saying that. Let's get a Caesar in place. And I think the American people are moving more and more towards a Caesar and a dictator, because they believe that if the right dictator gets into place, then he can fix all their problems for them.
How long was it after Augustus took that kind of power did Rome last?
Well, it lasted a number of hundreds of years.
Yeah.
It did. They were able to keep that machine going for a while.
But they didn't have the internet.
And Steve, I don't think that that America has the character to last much longer. We don't have the integrity of family life that we used to have. 42% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. We don't have the foundations necessary for a republic to survive. Now, it's possible that a dictator could continue the life of this nation by a top-down tyrannical form of government for a period of time. Now, of course, we're not saying that it's going to create a wonderful economy, and that's not what happens. Typically, slavery will produce a fairly miserable existence for a lot of people. So if that's what American people want, if they want to continue to vote to aggrandize the power of government, which they've done almost nonstop for the last 100 years, if they're going to continue to do that, and my guess is they're going to continue to do that because the largest socialist voting bloc in America are single women. And we have way, way, way more households led by single women today than we did even 10, 15 years ago. And the majority of households are led by single women. And the majority of women are living without a husband or without a father in America today for the first time in the history of the nation. So yeah, I think we're going to go towards continued socialist dictators will promise these women and these folks who need security from the state, the security that that they want. But of course, they'll never, never, ever deliver the security and prosperity that they think they're going to get. No, they're not going to get that. Sorry, not going to happen.
So we've seen the problem. What is the answer?
The solution is going to be God's people turning to him. You know, we shouldn't be trusting in princes and horses. We should be trusting in the Lord our God. This is the problem. The fundamental problem, Steve, is that people don't worship God. The fundamental problem is they don't believe in God. They don't trust in him. They don't pray to him. They don't look to him to solve their problems. They look to governments. That's the fundamental problem. And that's being taught in all the public schools. Prayer was taken out of the public schools. People don't pray to God to solve their problems anymore. We don't fear God and repent of our sins. So John Adams told Benjamin Rush at the Continental Congress in 1777 when they were up against this great empire. He said, we'll win this war. We'll have a shot at this if we fear God and repent of our sins. No, you don't have George W. Bush saying that anymore. You don't have Barack Obama worshiping God. You don't see him on his knees worshiping God as George Washington was. We have famous posters of George Washington on his knees crying out to God, declaring days of prayer and fasting. Fearing God, keeping his commandments, repenting of sin. I mean, these are the sorts of things that our founders talked about all the time. I don't hear our founders talking about this. So we've abandoned our God. And I don't even hear pastors talking about fearing God and repenting of our sins. It'd be nice to have a few pastors talking about, hey, we need to fear God, repent of our sins, and turn to Christ because we are sinners. We don't hear repentance very much. We don't hear the fear of God very much taught in churches today. As long as that's the case, I don't have any hope for this nation.
But can the churches get up and say, you know, don't vote for Barack Obama?
Yeah, they should.
But
they should
they lose their tax-exempt status?
Then they should get rid of their tax-exempt status.
But then what would happen?
Yeah. Well, what would happen is I guess maybe somebody would go to jail, or maybe they don't go to jail. Maybe they just don't get the write-off on Attachment A on their forms. I mean, okay, maybe you don't get that. Maybe you don't get attachment A write-offs on your 1040. Okay, oh boy, that's suffering for Jesus. I wonder if we need to suffer for Jesus a little bit more.
Yeah, but actually you can. Most people don't know that. Yeah, churches are tax immune by the tax law. You don't have to be 501c3.
You don't even have to be a 501c3.
You don't have to be incorporated by the government.
Right. Well, it'd be nice if churches would just have the guts to just do what God wants them to do.
Yeah,
and not getting your 501c3 is probably a good start.
That would be good.
And then secondly, standing up on a Sunday morning and saying, hey, repent of your sins, repent of how you've voted in the past, and start voting for righteousness. And here, by the way, are the standards of God's laws. Now, if that's preached every single week in hundreds of thousands of churches around America, the whole thing would turn around, Steve, overnight.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it. I think it has to do with what's being preached in the churches. So if you're getting down to the fundamentals, that's the fundamental. And it's nice to have the teen pack stuff. It's nice to have, you know, conservative kids learning conservative values and such. But when it comes down to it, we're not going to fix this nation until we have strong families and strong churches. And as we have strong families, that is fathers and husbands that will take care of their wives and not dump 54% of them off on their own. So they're out there voting for Barack Obama or some communist in the year 2018. If you have strong fathers and strong families, you're going to be doing okay. If you're going to have strong churches, standing up and teaching the laws of God and bringing about freedom by means of teaching the lessons concerning Christ and what he did to die on the cross for our sins and to release us from the character flaws and the sinfulness that bind us in all forms of slavery, including tyranny and government. If we have churches that will do that kind of thing, then yeah, we'll see a turnaround in the next, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. And I pray that that will be the case.
So it begins with the fathers. Husbands, yep. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Yep. If you do that, we'll have strong families. Yep. Strong families lead to strong churches. Strong churches lead to strong societies.
Yep, that's pretty much the way it works. That's right. It's a bottom-up proposition. And that's what we talk about all the time on this program, friends. There's always hope. There's always hope. And I believe that there's something starting right now in the hearts of hundreds of thousands of fathers across this country. I'm running into them. I was just in Idaho, a wonderful time in Idaho, meeting a bunch of God-fearing, God-loving, Jesus-loving folks who are teaching their children, discipling their children as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way. There's some strong churches down in Boise area as well. There's some wonderful, wonderful beginnings of something in Boise. I'm just talking about one city. I happened to be visiting last week, and I believe this kind of thing is happening all across this country, my friends. There is a virtual reformation happening, and it's happening with fathers, happening with families, happening with churches. I believe that one day the first Mayflower will give birth to a second. And just want to encourage you to grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, where I talk about this wonderful vision that, by the way, has been accomplished at least once in the history of the world, can be accomplished again. And you need to get this for the cause of the future, for the cause of faith, family, and freedom, for the cause of your children, your grandchildren, and what we leave behind in the years to come. Hopefully we won't be living some kind of a tyranny, some kind of a dictator-run communist disaster in the year 2040 for our kids and grandkids. We just need fathers to get a vision. And that's why I wrote my book, The Second Mayflower. That book is available at kevinswanson.com. Get your copy today at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.